Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
All right, the show continues. We move on to University of Miami basketball now. Canes at home on Saturday against Notre Dame, beginning conference play. 12 o'clock tip-off at the Wasco Center. We'll be on there at 12 here on WQAM with all the action. Hope to see you at the Wasco Center. Hope it's a sold-out 12 o'clock game for Miami and Notre Dame, and I'm sure Coach Larrañaga does as well. Coach L, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about you? Got home late last night, didn't we?
Yep. I pulled into my driveway at about, I think, 3 a.m.
Yeah. I try to close my eyes about that time, but I had a hard time getting to sleep.
Well, that would be understandable. You know, the first 20 minutes I thought was like an Elite Eight game. That was a very good game for the first 20 minutes. You had the lead with 90 seconds to go in the first half, and then the last 90 seconds of the first half and the first 5 minutes of the second half, things got sideways. But for the first 19 minutes, That was a heck of a game.
Well, it was really strange. I never felt like we were ever in sync. Yeah. From the opening tip-off where we took the lead, Uga Papa came out scoring, Norshad came out scoring, but we never really defended the way we wanted to. In the game plan, Joe, was we wanted to trap their ball screens and see how they would react to it. We never could do it because we were in foul trouble almost immediately. And we ended up with Norshad Omir only playing 8 minutes in the first half. And Densley Joseph, who's a real catalyst for us, he only played 6 minutes in the first half. So we thought at halftime, okay, we've gotten through the worst part. And then all of a sudden we came out and they just took it to us in the start of the second half and got ahead by a dozen right away. And we never recovered.
How hard was it for you? And that was my big fear. I thought, my own vision of the game, I thought the guy that could tilt it in your direction was going to be Norchad, especially if he was in the game the entire game. And I thought in the final 5 minutes, he maybe would be able to impose his will on Kentucky. But he was out 4 minutes into the game. And as you mentioned, Bensley, he's out. So at one point, you were playing with all of your young players and still trying to make I think it was an 18-3 run, but how hard was that to alter your plans?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. At halftime, even though we were down 5, we had the lead for 9 minutes and 58 seconds, 1 minute more than Kentucky.
Yeah,
but it didn't feel like that.
Right.
It felt like that Kentucky had the lead the whole first half. And you could see in our players' faces that we were not sharing the ball like we normally do. And that continued in the second half. We only ended up the game with 8 assists, whereas Kentucky had 26 assists. Had we gotten our average 16 assists, that would have been at least 16 or 18 more points, and then it would have been a close game. But we needed to share the ball more and turn the ball over less. We only had 8 assists and 15 turnovers. It needed to be the opposite.
Right. The guy that was the X factor was Reed Sheppard. He played out of his mind, 21 points, 4 assists. But I thought equally as important as his points, probably he was listed as 3 steals, but it felt like he was playing with 5 hands. It felt like every time Miami got close to him, he poked the ball free.
Yeah, I think Reed Sheppard is a little different kind of player these days. He doesn't look like a great athlete, but he is. He doesn't look like a killer competitor, but he is. And he has found a way to not only play well himself, which is obviously good, but how well he's able to help his teammates play even better than normal. Can you hear me, Joe?
I can hear you, yep. Uh-huh.
So you have 2 freshmen, Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham, who don't start, who come in off the bench, and Kentucky actually improves, despite the fact that their starting backcourt are 2 great players in DJ Wagner and Antonio Reeves.
Right.
So when they go to their bench, they improve. Their starting 5 is tremendous. And then they go to their bench and they get better. So you ask, well, how come they lost to Kansas, 10 days ago? Well, the answer to that is 2 great teams going at each other. Kentucky did a great job, had a lead, a strong portion of that game. But a little bit of their youthfulness showed in that game. At home, with 23,000 Kentucky fans cheering for them, there was no let-up. They played with a tremendous amount of confidence, and every time they went on a run, the crowd just cheered them on. So we learned a lot about ourselves. We've had to do that just about every late November or early December game. 2 years ago, it was Alabama crushed us by 32. Last year, it was Maryland who handled us from start to finish. And that was the same as last night. We've got to improve, Joe. We've got to improve our defense and our rebounding, and we've got to go back to sharing the ball.
I have two questions on your review. First one would be this. I look at the numbers, and Mike Nwoko played 18 minutes. Keyshawn George played 22 minutes. Christian Watson played 15 minutes. You're going to need those players. How beneficial was that for them to be out in that kind of environment and to play those kind of minutes?
Well, in ACC play, it's going to be the same thing. When we go to Duke, the crowd will go crazy. Go to Carolina, Syracuse, Louisville, Virginia. I mean, all these teams have great home court advantages, and hopefully our fans will come and cheer us on and create that home court advantage for us this Saturday at noon versus Notre Dame. It'd be great to have a great crowd and them help us get off to a 1-0 start against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah, I sense that we're going to have a good crowd. In film review in a game like this, what is your approach to the film review? Do you watch the entire game with the players, or do you just cut it up, or do you just move on?
Oh, well, we never watch the whole game, so that will not be an option. What we'll do is highlight certain things offensively and defensively, and then we will really move forward. Once we've covered, the previous game, we don't dwell on the past. We try to move forward, turn the page, and get ready for the next one. Because, we did not, after we played Georgia and Kansas State in Bahamas, we won both those games, played very well. And once that game is over, we reviewed the games briefly, but we moved on and tried to get ready for Kentucky. And the thing about our preparation for Kentucky, which, you know, is going to be a major topic of conversation tomorrow with the players, is our second unit really practiced well leading up to Kentucky. But our starters did not. Our starters were not as sharp as they had been in the five previous games. And it showed. It showed in practice, and then it showed last night. So we got to get back to work, Joe. I mean, and by that, I mean, we've got to understand what happened in last night's game and how we can prevent it from happening again and improve our defense, our rebounding, and our offensive ability to get assists.
Conference play does start on Saturday. Notre Dame comes in. They got beat last night. They're 3-3. They have a new head coach. I don't know if you have even had a chance to spend much time on Notre Dame, but the head coach was at Penn State. We played Penn State a couple years ago, and if I remember correctly, he puts together a lot of offensive sets.
That's an understatement.
Have a good memory.
New head coach at Notre Dame. And he was an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics for Brad Stevens. And the guy he sat next to on the bench was my son, Jay. Huh. So Jay, my son, and Micah Shrewsbury are very, very close friends. And Micah left the NBA to become an assistant at Purdue for Matt Painter. Then from an assistant at Purdue to the head coach at Penn State, where the first guy he hired was my assistant, Adam Fisher, based on the recommendation from my son, Jay. So Micah called Jay and said, hey, I'm looking for a really good assistant who has some familiarity with Penn State and the Philadelphia area where we're going to recruit. And my son said, well, my dad's assistant is Adam Fisher. He went to Penn State. He coached at Villanova. And he was a manager on the Penn State basketball team as a student there. So Micah called me, offered Adam Fisher the job. Adam went there for 2 years and now is the head coach at Temple. So we're very familiar with Micah and his system. And as you said, he runs more offensive sets and orchestrates from the sideline. He's like a show unto himself. If you watch, He's actually talking to the players during the offensive set. Hey, move the ball right, move the ball left, you know, whatever they're supposed to do. He's kind of orchestrating. So he's enjoyed a lot of success at Penn State, and now he's in charge of building the Notre Dame basketball program. He's got a lot of very good freshmen, including his own son.
Right. Yeah, his son's on the team. Braden is on the team, a freshman guard. I was going to say, I don't really recognize any of the players as a holdover from a year ago. Maybe there are. They're averaging about 66 points a game, but it looks like that roster was overhauled pretty well.
Well, one of their freshmen, who's 6'11", his name is Kerry Booth. His father is the general manager, president of the Denver Nuggets. And back in 1992 or 3, I recruited Calvin Booth to Bowling Green State University. We worked very hard to get him. His dad was 6'11", 7 feet. And the dad chose Penn State over Bowling Green. He went there, had a heck of a career, got to the NBA, had a heck of a career as an NBA player, then became an NBA scout and assistant and moved up to administration and now is like the president of the world champion Denver Nuggets. And his son is very similar. His son signed with Penn State with Micah Shrewsbury, and Adam Fisher was the lead assistant to recruit him. And then when Micah switched and went to Notre Dame, several of the players who signed with Penn State switched over to Notre Dame in the spring. So Micah Shrewsbury's son, Carrie Booth, several other guys were Penn State recruits and now are now Notre Dame players.
I do want to ask you about the ACC-SEC Challenge and some of the games tonight. The games are starting coming up in a couple of minutes. One of the reasons they have an odd starting time is they're replaying the Jim Valvano speech. And it got me thinking, in those years when he was the head coach at NC State, you were in the ACC. What do you remember of Valvano? He was a character,
well,
right?
I knew Jim Valvano from the time he was a player at Rutgers. He's an extremely personable guy, incredibly witty, a great storyteller, a terrific coach. He was at NC State when I was an assistant at Virginia, and then when I became a head coach at Bowling Green, Coach Valvano came to Toledo, Ohio, about 20 miles north of where my wife and I lived, and he did a speech for the Italian American Hall of Fame of Toledo. So I went to it to hear him speak, and he was hysterical. He had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand, telling so many great stories. And afterwards, I invited him to the house to come and visit with me and my family and exchange stories, because I was a young head coach and Jimmy Valvano was a very experienced head coach. So he came to the house and we stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning. And he told story after story. He mesmerized my sons. My sons at that time had to be like 15 and 10. And I let them stay up and listen to the Valvano stories. And he told me at that time that he worked for the Washington Speakers Bureau. During the month of May, he did 25 speaking engagements and got paid $25,000 for each speaking engagement. So he made $625,000 just speaking to the corporate world. And I was blown away by that. And so I decided, okay, this Washington Speakers Bureau is supposed to be so good, and I enjoy public speaking. I'll reach out to them. So I did. I wrote them a letter, and I got a nice form letter back, thank you, but no thank you. And Joe, I wrote them for 13 straight years. And always got the same form letter. I can probably recite it because it was the same one. I don't think they changed it. Even Harry Rhodes, the president of Washington Speakers Bureau, he was the one who signed it. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And then in 2006, I got a phone call from the Washington Speakers Bureau after our George Mason team made the Final Four. And it was a guy named Michael Minchell, and he was vice president of the Speakers Bureau. And he said to me, hey, would you be interested in working for the Speakers Bureau? And I said, well, Jim Valvano told me about his experience, and yeah, I'd love it. And so I've been with the Washington Speakers Bureau since 2006, all because of Jim Valvano. So, Jimmy was a terrific coach, terrific speaker to the corporate world. He was a terrific analyst for ESPN, and he's left an indelible mark in college basketball and in cancer research, because the V Foundation, headed by Dick Vitale, has raised millions and millions of dollars every year for cancer research, to help find a cure, especially in children. And it's a fantastic organization. My wife and I often go to their gala. We've contributed over the years to their gala and just are very, very proud to be associated with that organization. And Jim Valvano's, legacy, he passed away a week after my dad did.
Oh.
In April of 1993. And that was only a year after he spoke in Toledo. So a year after he spent a night at our house, he passed away of cancer. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's what you were looking for, Joe,
yeah.
But that's my memories of Jimmy V.
You always have a great story. My only experience with Jimmy V, Coach, you'd appreciate this, is the first coach when we brought basketball back was Bill Foster, who was from the ACC, Clemson, and I think it was either 86 or 87. We played at Cameron. We played Duke. And the next day, we didn't have charters in those days. We were flying out of Raleigh but got snowed in, of all places. Snowed in Raleigh at the Raleigh airport, had to go back to the hotel and stay in Raleigh-Durham. And Bill Foster called Jim Valvano, and we went to North Carolina State and practiced.
Hey, this is a sad memory for me, something that I like to forget. But in 1983, Jimmy Valvano's NC State team, we beat him twice during the regular season, and then had to play him in the championship of the ACC. And they ended up coming from behind and beating us, which, because they won the ACC tournament, they got the automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament. They would not have gotten in had they not beaten us. And then they went on not only beating us in the championship of the ACC tournament, but they beat us in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. They beat us twice within 2 weeks. And then they went on to win the national championship.
That's when they beat Houston.
In Jimmy Valvano's coaching career, I was right there for the best games of his career, the ACC tournament, the Elite Eight, and then that led to the national championship win over the University of Houston.
They had some run. The SEC has a narrow 4-3 lead over the ACC. And big games still to be played, Tennessee and Carolina, Texas A&M and Virginia. They're going to go old school, Duke and Arkansas, rematch of a championship game from the 90s. Florida and Wake Forest, Virginia Tech and Auburn, Georgia and Florida State. Hugh Durham being honored at Florida State, and Boston College and Vanderbilt. So it's a narrow lead, so very good competition so far.
Well, you know, again, our losses, we lost by 25 and NC State lost by 20. That does not look good for the ACC. And hopefully some of the better teams in our conference will win tonight. Syracuse, you know, had a nice win. Georgia Tech had a great win over Mississippi State. So those are great wins, but we need more of those if we're going to get more than just four or five teams into the big dance in March. And we're going to need to bounce back, and we've got some critical games coming up, including this Saturday against Notre Dame. Oh, every ACC game becomes vitally important for the success of this season's team.
Yeah, you've had some, it's another big week. Well, Notre Dame is Saturday, and then next week you have a game on Wednesday, and then you're going to go Hurricanes go to Brooklyn, and you play Colorado, and that's a very good team. They've been ranked. So this has been a very challenging non-conference for you with a conference game mixed in there.
Yeah, I think these games before Christmas, we need to play well. We need to play at both ends of the court. We need to be sharp. We need to practice well and prepare well. And there's going to be adversity. Who knows what will happen? You don't know if foul troubles or injuries or what have you. In our game against Kentucky, their starting point guard, DeJuan Wagner, sprained his ankle and ended up with Reed Sheppard getting more playing time because of it, which actually helped Kentucky. So, you know, we have to be sharp. And our players, I'll be meeting with the team tomorrow. My coaching staff will be breaking down the tape for the players and then doing our initial preparation for the game against Notre Dame.
Was there anything that you took out of that game that was a positive for you? They say, okay, well, in this rubble here, there is something else that we can dig out and pull this little gem out maybe and use that going forward.
Well, there were several things. First of all, I thought the guys off the bench, I mean, they in the first half, when we went on an 18-2 or 18-3 run, it was the guys on the bench who had come in to help us.
Yep.
You know, Keyshawn George and Christian Watson, they were instrumental in that run. Keyshawn hit a three. He got an assist. Christian Watson hit a three. Played some good defense. Got a couple of rebounds. Michael Nwoko came in and got a lot of quality playing time. So hopefully our bench will be humble and hungry to keep the improvement going, because their practices, what we call the orange team, the first unit is the white team and the second unit is the orange team. Hopefully the orange team is going to keep up that work in practice and really give us a helping hand.
Yeah, I figured, you know, for a guy like Christian Watson to hit a three or Keyshawn, he hit a three in that environment, and that might be something that triggers them forward, right?
Well, again, your starters, you hope your starters can play 25 to 30 minutes, and you're hoping your subs can play 10 to 15 minutes, and you hope that your bench comes in when you have a lead and is able to at least maintain the lead. Last night they came in when we were down 10 and then went on an 18-3 run and got us the lead again. So it's very, very important for all players to understand that no matter what their role, whether they're a starter who scores a lot of points, a starter who doesn't score that much, a sub who's a real threat when he comes in, or a sub who's big and supposed to defend and rebound. Whatever your role is, you got to execute the role, and you got to execute it with the right attitude.
Oh, and the last thing, by the way, I just had this conversation also, piggybacking off of last night. You and I were talking in the locker room, and this I think shows how hard it is to win in college basketball. But we were looking at the list of players that have played for John Calipari. And it's Bam Adebayo and Devin Booker, Anthony Davis and De'Aaron Fox and Tyler Hero, Tyrese Maxey, Malik Monk, Jamal Murray, Carl Anthony Towns, P.J. Washington. This list goes on and on. Quickly, Emmanuel Quickly plays for the New York Knicks. Julius Randle, who plays for the Knicks.
They asked me afterwards about John Calipari's coaching because he's made some adjustments, and you know that made him a great coach. And I said, well, he could choose whatever style of play he wants when you have players of that caliber. He probably has legitimately 6 or 7 NBA players on his roster right now. At least 6 or 7. Joe, he has 3 7-footers that haven't played yet because of injury. 3 7-footers.
Right, and you've gone to back-to-back Elite Eights. I mean, he has got a wealth of riches. He's got one title, 2012. So they've had, I'm not saying it's an indictment on him, I'm just saying that's how hard it is. I mean, he's had nothing but NBA players, and it's hard to get through all the way through that tournament to be a champion. And you've gone back-to-back Elite Eights now with end of the Final Four with Miami.
Yeah, there's a good reason he's a Hall of Fame coach and has been in the Hall of Fame for quite some time because he wins. And he wins primarily because he's a heck of a recruiter. He has a lot of talent, and they play a really fine brand of basketball. Like last night, before the game and talking to Jay Billis, he asked me what I thought the score would be at the end of the game, and I said, I think the first team to 80 will win, because I thought we'd be able to keep up the pace. They're averaging 95 points a game. Yeah. That was a normal game for them, Joe. They scored 95. They're averaging that. We were not as sharp as we've been. We scored in the 70s, and we've been averaging in the high 80s. But John Calipari's a Hall of Fame coach, has done an incredible job. First at UMass, taking them to the Final Four, then Memphis to the Final Four, and now Kentucky. But the SEC and the ACC are battling right now. I'm getting ready, as soon as I get off the air with you, turning on the TV and doing some scouting in preparation for down the road in January when we'll be facing these teams.
Yep. All right. Well, we got a big one coming up on Saturday, Fighting Irish of Notre Dame at the Watsco Center at 12 o'clock. And I know your team would be ready to rebound. Thanks for joining us here on the show tonight. And I'll see you on Saturday before the game.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much. And, yep, I hope we have a sellout crowd on Saturday.
All right. That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larranaga. 12 o'clock, Miami and Notre Dame. We'll be on there right at 12 o'clock, right before tip-off for the Canes and the Irish here on QAM. Let me talk to you for a moment about new Buicks and GMCs, which are arriving every single day at Williamson Buick GMC. And during the holiday season, they are going to have the new Buick or GMC that you are looking for, like the new GMC Yukon. Plenty of room for the entire family. The Yukon allows you to ride in style and comfort. It'll make a bold statement. Wherever you go in South Florida, you can cover work and play with the new GMC Canyon or the Sierra. These trucks feature bold styling, the latest technology, all with the toughness to get the job done. Or the Buick, how about an Encore, an Envision, an Enclave, and more, all at Williamson Buick GMC. Easy to find on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can also go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Ed Williamson and his team, they will be ready to serve you the best customer service in South Florida. And during the holidays, they're ready to go. They're ramped up and ready to go, and they are waiting for you so that it'll be a smooth and easy transaction, and you'll have a delightful holiday season. So get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle. Experience car buying like never before at Miami's premier luxury dealership, Williamson Buick GMC. Williamson is Miami.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.